It is good to be in God's house tonight, amen. And I appreciate His goodness letting us be here and the opportunity to be a part of the meeting. And it's a blessing and a joy to be back at Liberty. And thank God for Brother Ken, Ms. Renee, and what they mean to our heart. And appreciate this church and what it's meant to us. And all you preachers, good to see each one of you. And appreciate you. I'm thankful for my friends. Thankful that I've got friends that God has placed in my life. And it's even good to have enemies like Alan Kirk in your life. And Brother Mark walked in the door a while ago, and he said me and Brother Alan was matching. I said, "Son, when you're big as I am, you only get three choices. Ain't no matching suits, ain't no big time suits. You get what he throws at you, and it only comes in certain colors." And I am thankful. Again, good to have my wife and my children with me tonight. Appreciate them being here, and love them. And if you got your Bibles in front of you, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Appreciate the singing, and thank the Lord again for the good night. Ephesians chapter 4, my understanding, and I want to read one verse, and then I want to go over, or two verses. I want to read verse 27, and I'd like to go and read verse number 30 tonight, and then we'll give you what God's put in our heart tonight. Book of Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 27. "Neither give place to the devil." Neither give place to the devil. Verse number 30, the Bible said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Neither give place to the devil, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we love you. I want to ask you, Lord, tonight, you would help us, Father, as we stand before your people. Lord, you would preach. Lord, preach us tonight. Lord, that which you would empower us with, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Lord, we definitely need your help more than anything we've ever needed. We need you tonight, Lord. We need you to open our hearts, as already been prayed. You'd open our ears, Father. And God, help us to be, Father, that which you would have us to be, your man. And tonight we thank you, Lord, as the dear young preachers has done stirred my heart tonight. Lord, thank God that you're still saving lost sinners, and you're still calling men to preach, God. And what an honor and a privilege it is to be a preacher in this day and time. And what an honor it is to be a child of God. And Lord, we are a royal people. We are a peculiar people. We are royal tonight, Lord, a royal priesthood. And I thank you for that now. Again, help us. Bless this time together in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. Two verses that interest me tonight. I want to begin, if the Lord will help me. And again, I want to thank the Lord for the preaching that I've already heard. Brother Carl, what I've heard, Brother Allen that preached Sunday night. And thankful for these men of God that we can kind of hook up together and move forward and helping us in the Word of God. But it's interesting that Paul is writing tonight the church at Ephesus. And he begins to talk to the children of God, and he begins to deal with some internal things within them. Not so much internal things within the church itself, but he's dealing with internal things within the believer. Now let me say this before I go any further tonight. There are some things in my nature that I am, the older I get and the farther I go with God, the more I realize I am wicked and I am vile. And if it was not for the Spirit of God tonight, I would be in a mess. You hear what I'm saying? And we're all in the same boat tonight. Amen. There's nobody better than you. Take your halos and put them off to the side tonight, because all he did was come save a bunch of rotten sinners. Amen. Headed to hell. And if there's anything good, it's in us. He's done it tonight, and he's doing it. So we find that the Bible teaches us, and Paul is trying to relay something about these internal things that's within us. These things that would derail, not derail God's plan, but it would derail us, or we would derail God's plan in our life. I believe God's got a set plan for every one of us. But I do believe tonight that me and you can mess that plan up. Me and you can let our flesh get in the way. Me and you can let our heart get in the way of the wickedness of our heart. And we can derail everything that God's doing. And we can set in some motion some things that three generations of our family will never be able to get away from because of those things that we've allowed ourselves to set in motion. And so Paul's dealing with those internal things tonight. He uses the word place, which is an interesting word, and I looked it up, and it means any portion of space that's been marked off. It would almost give us the idea of an inhabited place. Anything that has been marked off. And you're reminded, and he says here, neither give place to the devil. Now, don't give that marked off area to the devil. You say, well, what's God already marked off? The Bible said we've been bought with a price, so He's marked all of us off tonight. Yeah. Amen. He's inhabited us, and He reminds us tonight as well that by us giving the place to the devil, that we can grieve the Spirit of God. Why are we not seeing revival? Why are we not seeing any more moves than we're seeing tonight? Why tonight are we not seeing hearts on fire? You know why tonight? Because we've got the Spirit of God grieved and we've given place to the devil. Hey, we may not be sitting on a bar stool. We may not have a needle in our arm. We may not have left our wife or you've left your husband. But honey, there's some internal things tonight God is not pleased with, and God can see on the inside of every one of us tonight, and it grieves the Spirit of God. He's weeping tonight over the condition of where we're at. Thank God I want to have camp meeting, but I told two preachers today, I said, I can't get this out of me, and I am going to do my best to be obedient tonight. I want to preach on this thought tonight. When me and you take the devil's place. When me and you take the devil's place. I want you to notice here that the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we know that God, the Spirit of God, is interested tonight in pulling those strongholds, those holds that the devil has. But the Bible gives us the very death or the very mindset here that me and you make a choice to give the devil some areas of our life. We make a choice. And by doing that, we allow ourselves to be hindered. And we allow ourselves to come up short. And we allow ourselves to not be empowered tonight. And not to, I don't know about you, but I know nobody in here ever has an argument with your spouse. Hello? Most of us have them on the way to church. And then we walk in here and we lie. Amen. You say, what this happened? We gave place to the devil. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but us that are saved, us that are born again, we have the capability and we have the choice tonight to give the place to the devil. And what we're doing, we're creating a climate for the devil to dwell in. We're creating a nest for Satan to work in. We're creating a place that, listen, that makes the devil feel at home. You see, our lives, our spiritual life, it's like a house. And we're a spiritual house. And each one of those houses have rooms. And the Lord wants us to give over those rooms to Him. But what we've done when we give the devil, everybody listen to me tonight, what we've done when we give the devil a place, we've left the light on for Satan. And we've allowed him to move in. We've given him a bed and some towels. And he's living down at our house tonight. And we wonder why God ain't working in our families and in our lives tonight. We have created a climate. And Satan will never leave until you determine you're going to kick him out. And you're going to deal with him in Jesus' name. And so tonight I want to give you about three things tonight out of these verses. And talk a little bit about when we take the devil's place. So be very familiar with what we're looking at tonight. Notice if you will, in verse number 22. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, as created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Number one tonight, I want to talk about the place that we give Satan that he occupies. There's a place that he occupies. What kind of areas do we give Satan? Well, the Bible said in verse number 25, there is this place of dishonesty. Whether you call it a white lie or whether you call it a big lie, it's all a lie tonight. And the Lord said right here, Paul said, through the unction of the Holy Ghost, he said, you've got to put away lying. Every child of God tonight needs to understand this. We have to live a life that is full of truth. Everything we do ought to be based on the truth of the Word of God. And when we say, there's nothing wrong with me, when we make little lies and create little stories and we thrive off life, listen, you ought to be careful tonight how you tell small things. You'll get a call from the bill collector and your husband will look down and say, they're going to call for me. Let me run out to the garage and you tell them I'm not here. You know what you just did? You just lied. Amen, everybody. Y'all stick your heads like this. Let me know. Yeah, yeah. Wherefore put away lying. Yeah. Preacher, how many did you have on Sunday morning? Oh, we had 197. You had 43. You lied. Yeah. How's it going? Oh, it's going great. All hell's a breaking loose in your life. You're lying. How's it going down at the house? Oh, me and the wife, we're good. And you fought like cats and dogs, rebellion's running. And it's worse than your kids. You're lying to God. But you're not, can I tell you, you're not exposing yourself to anybody else. You're covering it up real well. But God sees where you're lying at. You say, what are we doing? Well, the Bible said He's the life. He's the life and He's the father of lies. And when I'm lying and when you're lying, why do we need the devil? We just took His place. Why do we need the devil working in our life? Because we just took His place because He's the liar and He's the father of lies. And when we take on the role of lying inside of us, we don't need the devil no more. We just took His place. We just allowed a place to occupy us of dishonesty tonight, and it's grieving the Spirit of God. Notice what the Bible says. Not only here do we find this place of dishonesty. Verse number 26. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We not only find this place of anger, but oh, the devil's mad tonight. He's angry. Now I know there's a righteous indignation. And for every child of God tonight, we ought to be stark raving upset over what sin is and what sin has done tonight. But we don't get mad over sin. We get mad because they get your hamburger wrong at the restaurant. We get mad because the waitress ain't moving quick enough that you think, oh, I'm sorry, you got a steak and you didn't get it cooked like you thought you ought to, so you got a right to go down and fuss everybody. I'm sorry, I thought you was a child of God, not the devil. I thought you tonight was one of His. By the way, if you get a steak, you ought to thank God you even got a steak tonight. People all over the world losing their eyes and getting their heads chopped off, eating out of the dirt floors of missionary worlds, and we're living a privileged life that God has blessed us with. But yet we'll get angry. We'll get angry. And the Bible teaches us that Satan's mad. He's been mad ever since he couldn't take God's place. He's been mad since that God kicked him out of heaven. And if he could kill every one of us, he would. Why? He's angry tonight. Oh, we'll let anger. We'll let anger. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a little bit. But we'll let anger occupy us. Remember, my life's in a day where people are upset over everything. Upset at one another. upset her. I tell you what, I've been married 25 years and it just, I tell you what, it ain't got no better. Well, what have you done about it? You expecting her to do everything about it? Why don't you step up and do something, bud? Amen. Amen. Why don't you get out your recliner and get off your hobby horse, and why don't you get out there and start buying her flyers again and start carrying some... Amen. Amen. Why don't you quit being so angry and start getting right with God tonight, because it grieves the Spirit of God when we're angry and we sin. Brother Ken prepares and prays and squalls and gets everything where God wants him, and walks in on a Sunday morning and about half the crowd's angry, and he walks away going, boy, it sure was tight here this morning. Amen? Because we're angry. It ain't turned out like I thought it should. Get in line. Get in line. Thank God, I'm glad I didn't get my way. But I sure am glad he's got his way. Amen? His way is so much better than my way. See, anger. Anger today. We become filled with such anger. And you know what? Let me say this, and I'm going to move on quickly because I'm trying to get somewhere. What you're angry over reveals your character. Amen. Me and Brother Jason was back there joking about him being a Tennessee fan and me being a Georgia fan. Listen, I could care. I enjoy that. Even though Brother Jason does care a little too far. But anyway, that's beside the point. Amen. I enjoy that. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been to the ball field. I've seen some daddies get angry at some umpires. I've seen some mamas get angry because their little T-baller got called out on first. Hello. Oh my, I'm sorry, I didn't know they go into the pros next year. My bad, I'm sorry. Why are you getting so angry? I've seen them at the high school over in Alabama. Everybody in Alabama thinks their kid's going to be the Roll Tide, next Roll Tide superstar. They think Nick Saban's going to pull up in the driveway, but they get so angry. But you know what you're doing when you get angry and you get upset? You're showing us where you're at with God. I'm showing where I'm at with God, and it reveals my character. And why do I need the devil? I just took his place. Anger. Anger. Notice what the Bible said in verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let me say that. Can I run a rabbit? Brother King, can I run a rabbit? Does it not bother y'all that they 35 and 40 year old men still living up on their mom and daddy playing Xbox? Ain't got no job. Amen. They expect to be entitled something. Amen. That ought to bother somebody tonight besides me. I am bothered by that tonight. Hey, my daddy taught me something about work. Amen. I may not be the best worker, and I may not be the fastest worker, but honey, you can look at me. There's been some work because I have eat. Glory to God. I am not anorexic. I have conquered it. I'm saying to you, I am happy. The Bible says we're happy. I was telling Brother Hubbard. Brother Hubbard, I've been knowing Brother Hubbard for years. And he looked at me and he said, boy, you bigger now than ever. I said, man, I've lost weight. And I said, you know what the, key is to being big? If you get a fat doctor, you ain't got to worry about it no more. Skinny doctors always want to talk about how big you are. If they already fat, they can't, that's a hypocrite. Hello? You get a fat doctor, you ain't got to worry about it no more. Amen. That's my rabbit. Not only is this place of anger, but we find in verse 28, he said, let him that stole steal no more. You know what the devil's job is? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal. I wonder now, when ain't nobody looking, would you steal a 15-cent pencil? I wonder when nobody's looking, I wonder if you'd steal a piece of gum. I wonder when nobody's looking at you'd put that $20 bill in your pocket that ain't yours. I wonder when nobody's looking if you'd take that ain't yours. Ain't nobody going to know. Grieves the Spirit of God. Wonder tonight if you'd steal somebody else's wife. Wonder if you'd steal somebody else's husband. Hello? Oh, I know preachers tonight would love to steal somebody else's church. Hello? You say, preacher, I ain't done none of that. Okay, I wonder how much glory you stole from him. I wonder how much glory I've robbed him from. You see, the devil, he's interested in stealing joy, and he's interested in stealing hope, and he's interested in stealing peace, and he's interested in stealing homes tonight and lives. And when I fill the role of stealing, when I allow the devil to have place in my life where I steal things that ain't mine, when I take things that are not mine, why I need the devil anymore? I just took his place. Grieves the Spirit of God. Grieves the Spirit. Everybody all right? Say amen. Notice here with me quickly in verse number 29. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 4. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I wonder about this area, this place of filthiness. Having a filthy mouth. I wonder what you say when your preacher ain't around. I wonder what you say when we ain't having camp meeting. Listen, this joke, it ain't that bad. Huh? Huh? I don't want my kids hearing something like that, would you? And why am I talking like that? Everybody all right tonight? It's like taking a shot. Just let it, it'll get over here in a little bit, okay? I know it hurts right now. But there's an area of filthy. We think it's cute. I was in a store the other day at Walmart, and you find a lot of messages at Walmart. And this mom and daddy was on the bicycle aisle, and he probably couldn't even been 3 years old. And he let out a little cuss word. And his mama goes, oh, Bobby, that's so silly. Wonder where he heard that at. It ain't cute. It ain't cute. Number one, it ain't cute for men to do it. It ain't cute for kids to do it. Ladies, it sure ain't cute for you to do it. I married a lady. Can I get a witness right there? I married a lady. Amen. She looks like a lady. She acts like a lady. Thank God I wanted to talk like a lady. Amen. Filthy mouths are all the result of a filthy mind. You see, when we're dealing in this area of those things that occupy us, it deals with our mouth, it deals with our motives, but it also deals with our mind. These areas of filthiness. Well, we find this place that occupies. Look at verse number 30 again. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. Now listen, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now we find we've taken the place of the devil and those things that occupy us, those places that occupy us. Now I want to look about something in this place that fortifies against us. You see, the Bible says here that we grieve the Spirit of God, and in verse number 31, he says that we grieve it in the area of bitterness. Bitterness. When we give the devil a place, there's this area of bitterness that must be dealt with. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to write it down on paper. But I do want to say this. In your heart, I wonder how many of you tonight could say, preacher, I've been hurt and I've been done wrong. I wonder tonight when you sit in services like this and sit in meetings like this, and when God begins to stir your heart, your mind and your heart go immediately to a picture of their face. Preacher, how many of us go back to that person that hurt us back yonder? Church member, how many of us go back to that person that hurt us in the past? And therefore the Spirit of God is grieved with it because we are bitter to the things of God. We've allowed bitterness to, and by the way, the book of Hebrews said that when the root of bitterness springs up, it defiles many. Bitterness will not only hurt you, it'll hurt your wife, your husband, it'll hurt your children, and generations to come. Bitterness will rob you of everything By the way, the devil's bitter tonight. He is so bitter. God had no right to do that to me. God had no business doing that to me. And the devil's bitter tonight. Many of us are sitting in meetings like this, and we'll put on some facade to get through it, but inside of our hearts, down deep in our hearts, there is a place of bitterness, and the Holy Ghost of God will put His finger on it, and it's tender tonight, because you know it's an issue in your life. You have not forgave them. You have not got over it. You have not got past it. And it's grieving the Spirit of God, and you're allowing the place of the devil to be taken in your life. The area of bitterness. Listen, and I'm not trying to say I'm super spiritual, but if it was up to me to continue on in this thing because of people hurt me, I'd have quit a long time ago. I've come to the realization I ain't doing this for y'all. I ain't doing this for them. I'm doing this for Him. And if I can keep my eyes on Him tonight, I tell you, I'm headed somewhere. I'm headed home, honey. And you mark her down. If I can keep my eyes on Him and keep my head up tonight and realize I know it's about souls getting saved. I know it's about people getting help. But I cannot let my life be dictated by the actions of other people. Here's the reality tonight about people you're bitter at. They're not even thinking about you tonight. They ain't even got you on their mind. They're living their life. They're probably at Disney's World tonight just having a good time with Mickey Mouse. And they don't even care about you. But you're sitting here filling the role of the devil tonight. Allowing the devil to get in your heart. And allowing the Spirit of God to be grieved because of bitterness. And what somebody else done to you. What somebody else said to you. And it's controlling your life tonight. Area of bitterness. Verse 31. The Bible said this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Let me progress in this thing just a moment. That hurt that accompanies bitterness within this area of bitterness. Notice what it'll do. The Bible said in verse 31 that all bitterness, and then He said it's wrath. Just as the fruit of the Spirit is a progressional work of the Holy Ghost, you find within verse number 31 it is a progressional work of the devil tonight. Bitterness is where it begins, but that is not where it ends. Look what He said. He said, let all wrath. That word wrath, that gives us the idea of internal heat. It almost gives us a picture of smoldering rags that's burning and they're smoking. In other words, it would give us an idea of a slow burn. You see your bitterness here. You're smoldering. And you're just waiting for the right trigger. You're hurt. And buddy, you're half caught right now. You're just waiting. It's burning on the inside of you. And you're just waiting for the right person. You're just waiting for the right statement. You're just waiting for the right opportunity. And before you know it, that fire is going to be unleashed. And it's going to defile everybody around you. It's burning. That man of God will get up here and preach and know nothing about what you're going through. And it'll part right down in your house and right down in your home. And you'll leave out of here and say, bless God, somebody done told him everything going on. Somebody done run their mouth. No, the problem is the Holy Ghost done got your number, honey. And that thing's a burning. And you're mad at everybody. You're upset at everybody. And it's burning on the inside of you. It's devouring you. It's taking over you. And before you know it, that thing's going to burst out in flames. Things going to move to wrath if you're not careful. Bitterness that will move from wrath. Notice here quickly. Not only does here we find here this area of wrath and bitterness, but then it will turn to anger. The internal heat then becomes external. We talked about anger a while ago. In other words, it comes out of you. It comes out of you. And then he used the word clamor. What's an interesting word? It means to be red-faced. Or it means to get hostile. Or to get loud. I'm going to tell you what. I'm about to speak my mind up in here. Let me tell you something about me. I'm tired of everybody treating me bad. I got something to say and everybody go this. I'm fed up all of it. And I'm about to tell everybody how I feel. Hello? And that's just in the Dollar Tree. What happened? That internal flame. Oh, you clamor now. You are clamoring. You are clamoring. You are clamoring for a voice, for an ear, that your voice will be heard. Thinking that if someone listens to you, it's going to remedy. You know what it's going to do? It's going to make it worse. That word clamor moves in that progression after you get hostile. It moves into evil speaking. You begin to say things you don't mean. You begin to get out of control. You begin to say things like, I wish you were dead. Hear me? I hate you. I wish you were never born. Hello? Everybody all right? Wish I'd never met you. You'll say things that you can never get back. You'll break hearts that'll never mend. Because your bitterness rose up out of you. And you begin to evil speak against not only yourself, but you're grieving the Spirit of God. And the devil's sitting back going, I got him, I got him, I got him. I didn't even have to do nothing. I got him, I got him, I got him. And he's rejoicing over your clamor. And he's rejoicing over things that are fortified in you. And then it leads to malice. That little word malice is an interesting word. It's a desire to do harm. It means you want somebody to suffer for how you're feeling. You want somebody to pay. You want them to pay right too. You want somebody to get hurt because you're hurt. You see, that thing's done fortified in you. It's done occupied in you. It's never going to be right tonight until you take it to the Lord. And that leads me to my last point tonight. We find those things that occupy us in this place, those things that fortify us. But can I say this place not only fortifies and occupies, it has to be ostracized. You see, you can't keep one foot over here in that room that you give the devil. And keep another foot over. You see, I told you in the beginning, your life is like a home. And there's rooms everywhere. So what we have to do when it comes to dealing with this and begin to ostracize this, Brother Brad, we have to ostracize it completely. In other words, nothing can stay behind that it won't. You're going to have to kick the devil out.
Yes, sir.
See, how do I do that? Number one, you do it through repentance. Not just repentance of what is in your life, but repentance from it. You see, we got no problem said, Lord, I don't mind you having my eternal room. I'm thank God I'm headed to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm at the Savior. Colin Owens sing. I'm at the Savior. What a story to tell. I'm saved and forgiven. Well, you'll give God that room.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Lord, I didn't give my kids room. I want you to save my kids. Oh, but wait a minute. That's my toy room over there, God. You can't have that room. Well, that, oh, Lord, no, no, no. That's my money room. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, that's off limits to everybody but me. That's my money room. Oh, that's why I don't give them tithe, because I don't let them buy my money room. It's mine. Amen. Oh, you can't go over there. That's all those hidden things I've got. You see, God's not interested in just going in one room. God's not interested in going in two rooms. God is wanting you to step out on the porch. And He's wanting to carry the vacuum cleaner and the Clorox bleachers with the blood of Jesus. And He wants to clean everything from the top to the bottom. He wants to get every bit of dirt and grime, and He wants to take Satan by the seat of the pants and kick him out in the road. And by the name of Christ, that's the only way you're ever going to be able to let these things ostracize. Is repent. Repent. You mean I'm saved, Brother Brian? I got to repent? Honey, if you ain't repenting every day, something ain't right in your life. Every day. Every day I got to get on my face. Every day these things are creeping up in my life. Why do you think I know these things? Because I've lived some of them today. And I'm telling you, you got to give the Lord every room. He ain't satisfied with just one.
Amen.
there must be repentance. Quickly, there must be not only repentance in this ostracizing, there must be resistance. James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh yeah, I do that every day. Really? Really? Okay, let's test that. You got some sin in your heart, and you're driving to work, and it gets real bad at the job place, but there's still sin in your life. You say, I tell you what, devil, I resist you. He goes, okay, good, keep going. I'm listening. You're real funny. I'm living down at your house. You ain't resisting nothing. Oh, are you having a bad day? Too bad. You done invited me in, and I'm along for the ride. You see, it don't matter what's going on over there. If he's still living in your house, he's still controlling you. He's still calling the shots. He's still the one controlling you. Ain't no use asking about this over there. Asking the Lord, Lord, help me get, when there's some lying going on over here. When there's some bitterness still in your heart over here. When you done ran out and run the preacher down. Boy, I got real quiet right there. Amen, preacher. Thank you. Thank you very much. When you done ran out and run the preacher's wife down. Bless God, I'm going to tell you, they're going to hear what I got to say down at that church. I'm somebody.
Yeah.
Do they not know who I am?
Yeah.
I am somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you somebody, all right.
Right.
You acting like the devil.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You say you've got to repent of it. But then you've got to resist it. You've got to clean it all out. And then when it arises again, then that's when you can resist. Then by the blood of Jesus. Then by the name of the Lord, the only name under heaven, a name that's above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's how you resist it, deny. You're resisting. You don't go back. You don't go back. You don't invite Him back in. Let me say this and I'm done. There has to be renewal. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, the verse says this. It says, neither give place. The word give is an interesting word. It gives us the idea that you have a choice tonight. You have a choice tonight whether or not you're going to allow the devil to find a place in your life. You're going to find that this bitterness, the place this bitterness has, if you don't deal with it tonight, it's going to rob you. It's going to lead to something you're not prepared for. It's going to lead to hurt that you're not ready for tonight. You're going to need someone stronger than you. You're going to need someone stronger than the devil. And the only one that is tonight is the Lord Jesus. Draw nigh to God. What I do, preacher, to get Him out of my house, you run to Jesus. You repent before Him. You say, Lord, I don't want this no more. God, I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of the devil dictating to me how I'm living my life and robbing me of victory and robbing me of my joy and robbing me of my peace. I'm sick and tired of it. You're going to have to run from it. Ask God to forgive you of it and get clean and put it out of your life. Then you're going to have to renew some things and get back to living where our lives don't grieve God's Spirit.